Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
All right, final hour of Bennett Woods here on a Thursday, and let's get right to it. It's been a while. I can't believe. I was just looking at my calendar. It's almost been a month since the last game for the Padres, Game 5 against the Dodgers of the NLDS. Does that seem possible?
Crazy. I know.
That is absolutely crazy. The business of the offseason is already well underway, including yesterday's announcement of a new two-year contract extension for Padres manager Mike Shildt. And it is time now for our manager's report brought to you by San Diego County Credit Union. It's not big bank banking. It is better. And we are joined by the skipper of the San Diego Padres, Mike Shildt. Mike, it's good to have you back on. Good morning to you.
Good morning. How are we doing?
Doing good. Doing good. Congratulations on the extension. I know that that probably has to be a little bit of a load off going into the season.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm very grateful. You know, we obviously had a good year. A lot of people were responsible for it. I just try to stay out of the way as much as possible and allow people to do their thing. But, yeah, super grateful and excited about the future for sure.
So I was there in L.A. on that Friday night, tough night for all you guys. I know I was in that clubhouse and saw your reaction as well. How do you process something like that? What kind of time does it take to kind of move on and move forward?
I think it's probably in a couple parallels. I mean, ultimately, to answer your question, there's never going to be enough time for that. You know, it's something that, you know, it'll be a part of your soul for a long time. And now it don't make like dramatic, but you know, you think about it and sometimes it pops in your head and you're like, gosh darn it, you know?
Yeah.
But the other side of that I feel really good about, that also is good for headspace, is that occupies a fair amount of it, is, and it did. It took me, you know, I think it took a lot of us. I'm still in San Diego. You know, came in and you know, around the club and around the front office and around all the people that work here and, you know, in the city, obviously, and there was just like a slumber for, you know, X number of days. And I get all that, man. It hurt, you know. But then you start to get away from it a little bit and you start to, at least for me, you look at where do we start? And where we start and where we finish, you go, pretty darn good, man. A lot of great things took place. A lot of good things are still in process to take place. So I feel a real sense of accomplishment for what this season looked like. But, you know, clearly there's disappointment in the last game. But from where we started and being in Korea to where we finished and having the second most wins in the history of the organization and having some special moments that the city embraced and you know, went on the journey with us was pretty darn cool.
Yeah, it was. And it was certainly a pleasure to cover, you know, after the year before that I think took years off of all of our lives. And, you know, watching it last year, and the second half was such a blur because all you guys did was win. I mean, we would have to come in here and go, well, there's really nothing to pick apart. Hey, the guys won again, won another
that's
series.
That's what you want to do, pick it apart.
That's right. That's right. And we're looking at it going, all right. But, you know, and then, Shildt, I just wanted to ask you this, too. One of the big things that you've been given a lot of credit for and deserve a lot of credit for is changing the culture of things that happened in 2023. And it certainly was, you know, we were in the clubhouse just a little bit and you could see it. I mean, you could see it. You could see it on the field with the play. as far as that, do you feel like, all right, now that's good. That's installed. This is the way we do things now with the San Diego Padres. So no matter who you bring in, they're going to fall in line right away. And I know that's important to you. Any worries at all about, you know, culture getting away in 2025?
I don't worry about it, but I want to make sure that we continue to be intentional about and actually grow it and make it to be even a more, you know, deeper part of our core identity of how we operate here. You know, if you look at really long-standing organizations, you know, there's always going to be some kind of churn. You know, we're not anticipating any churn with staff, not a lot of churn with roster. But, you know, the whole club's not going to be back. And my point I'm getting at is, you know, you look at sustained success, you have a clear understanding of how we prepare and how we compete and how we conduct ourselves you know, everybody in the organization's aware of, from front office to staff to most importantly the players that live it and execute it. And so then when you have people that come in and they just plug right in and go, oh, this is how we operate here, and they make the transitions easier, and there's clarity of what that looks like. And so, you know, we've done a nice job of implementing it and getting it to be a core part of how we operate. But we still want to make sure we're growing it. We're not taking it for granted, and making it more consistent and deeper. But the continuity that we have that in the staff returning, it looks like, and then, you know, a lot of our core players understanding it and buying into it, then it only continues to foster.
Mike, there was a lot of talk yesterday between you and AJ, just alignment, you know, values, and, you know, what you guys feel is important. Not that you always have to agree on everything, but we'd seen with previous managers, they always talk about that going in, but the reality can sometimes be different. What was the work of that like as you experienced your first year as a manager working with AJ Preller? And how did you guys, you know, come together and have that understanding of how each of you operates during the season?
Well, first we recognize, and AJ said it, and I alluded to it as well, like there's a common hungerness to be real for the team to be great and to do our part. And there's a real dedication to that. So it has to start there, right? You have to have, you know, your leadership and both, you know, really determined and then have this, you know, skill sets to be able to execute. And so that's a good starting point. Then after that, once you know that, you know, we're working towards a common goal, then nothing's personal. And that's the one thing that of many that I really appreciate about AJ that I think can be misunderstood. You know, AJ's going to feel convicted about what he believes in, and clearly he's the general manager and has the autonomy to execute it. But he's not above reproach, and he can be challenged, and, you know, and he doesn't take it personally. And so we did it. We challenged each other, you know, we talk and we don't agree all the time. And, you know, it can get, you know, passionate, and that's healthy. But the most healthy part of that is it's not personal, and it's not, we know we're going towards the same place. And then, you know, figuring out what each other's like strong preferences were, and then also, you know, appreciating and respecting the non-negotiables that each of us had, and they exist. And so when you can look and you're in a team setting and you realize you're not going to get everything you want, but you can stand up for what you believe in and feel valued and heard, and then you can come up with something that you can both agree on that is best for the organization, and then go execute it like it was your idea. But that's hard. You know, those are great words and philosophies, but they really, really work. And you know, it took some time for us to figure out some of those things are, you know, growth comes through a little pain and hard conversations. But we were able to get on a good part of the other side of it and start to really understand how we operate and think, and then ultimately work together.
Talking to the skipper, Mike Shildt. again, congratulations on the extension. Wanted to talk to you about next year. You know, going into spring training, and you know, you started last year. You'd been with the organization, but you come in, and now you're the boss. You're the manager, and everyone's looking to you. And you've got to implement this, and this is how we're going to do things. So now that you do have a little bit more continuity. Is there a different feeling for you as far as, you know, getting off to a really, really good start? I think every manager wants to. We had this debate yesterday. Now, you know, I probably would have bet my house on the Phillies winning the World Series based on their start they had last year, or the New York Yankees based on their start. How important is it to you? I know it's such a marathon, that 162 game, Shilty, but how important is it for you guys to look up maybe at the All-Star break and say, all right, we're in better position this year than we were last year?
I mean, you know, clearly, yeah, we want to be you always want to get off to a good start. You want to win every game. You want to be good at the beginning, the middle, and the end. So, you know, that's always the goal. Clearly, that's what, you know, we're working towards. And, you know, I'm at the ballpark now, and we're about to have meetings with our staff and league staff and upper level player development staff and some front office about, you know, starting to review the process of what just happened and how we plan for moving forward. So that, you know, ultimately answer your question is, you know, I'm very, very, I think you've caught up on this. People say it all the time. You know, but the process driven is important to me. And so, you know, if I know that we've got, and that's why the off season is very important to me, like I expect us to win the off season. And you can say, how do you determine that? Well, you determine it based on your preparation, how you compete and play during the season. I'm confident we'll do that. So that gives me the confidence. So when the proper processes are in place, irrespective of department, pitching, hitting, defense, base running, you know, our pregame meetings, the efficiency of that, how we're getting information to players, how they're processing it, how we're competing, how we're individualizing it. You know, once all those things are happening, then, and you see that you're working towards a positive every day, then collectively it typically works. Now, when that all comes together, and on any given days, does it come together? You know, that's what we're shooting for, obviously. But the wrap-up point for me is, like, when you know that's taking place and you see that going, you just have some peace and calmness to it. But you know, there's an end date to the end of the season, and so you're always racing towards that end date. But you can't overlook the steps it takes to get there. And, you know, the quicker we get that and quicker we acclimate, and, you know, as soon as we continue to get our processes clear with our players and partner with them in the off season, the better we're going to be able to compete.
Yeah, and I'm fascinated by, you know, the fact that you're going to leave us and then go do some meetings today. How much of a, for lack of a better word, autopsy do you do on last season, and do you start as early as spring training? We liked this, we didn't like this. Like, how does that work for we laymen in here, the as far as kind of the review and then moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, listen, everybody's got their own operating system. I've seen a lot of them, been a part of a lot of them. I think the one that works best, you know, I feel like if you're waiting to go to spring training to figure it out,
yeah,
spring training is not to figure it out. Spring training is to execute, to get ready for a season. And you know, it has been a long season. You know, get to play, to your point, you know, into October. Clearly want to play a little bit further, but, you know, starting earlier this year is a long year. A lot of, you know, we did our jobs. But my point I'm getting at is, yeah, there was a rightful downtime, you know, for guys to get back. And there is a, you know, a burnout factor to this profession. Sure. That, you know, when I talk to people that do things for high levels, and whether it's other sports or other industries, and you compare schedules, people that are highly driven and highly successful and spend hours upon hours working and are in high stress roles, they look at our schedule and they go, you got to be kidding me. You know, and it really is. And I love it. We love it. You have to. But what I'm getting at is, you want to be respectful of the off season. But, man, you know, we just got through experiencing 8-plus months of individual and team, you know, experiences. And now it's time to capture them. So that's what we're going to do in the next 6 days with our staff, you know, with all areas. We're gonna capture everything that just got through happening, and then we're gonna share our thoughts with our players. So we're gonna get their thoughts first of what they thought just happened, because they're the ones performing, and we need to work and understand where they're coming from, and then we're gonna enjoy the off season, you know, family time and some much deserved mental and physical break. But we're gonna show up, you know, in Peoria. And every individual player, including new acquisitions and the staff, are going to know how we're going to execute individually and collectively.
Perfect segue to my last question, Mike, and that is, you're still in your office now. You just came off 8 straight months. I know you didn't have much of an offseason last year because of the hiring process and then going to meet with all of your new players in the offseason. So when you finally do go back home, or, you know, whatever your plan is, what's one fun thing you are planning to do between now and the start of spring training, just for you, like something that you are looking forward to doing?
Yeah, I'll go to North Carolina next week, and I'll spend some time there at home. And you know, I'll play. I'm not a big golfer, but I'll go and I'll play 9 holes. I'll play by myself. Yeah. I'm not great, which is one of the reasons. you know, and I'll just you know, play at my leisure, not concerned about competing against, you know, I've got a birdie this hole or whatever, you know, I just wanted to go out and play my music, get some golf balls, play probably 9 holes, go in, have an adult beverage maybe, and a nice meal, and watch a sunset.
You know, old fashioned man, or are you just going to go with a traditional beer? What you going to go with?
Nah, I keep it pretty clear.
Yeah. Clear. I like that. A little Tito's, maybe. Yeah.
Are you in agreement? Yeah, maybe. Are you in agreement with me?
I keep it clear. Water. Yeah.
Water. Wow. All right. Are you in agreement with me that nobody needs 18 holes of golf? It really should be 12. 12 is the magic number. The front 6 and the back 6. And your day shaves at least an hour and a half of misery off the round. You play 6 holes, you have a beer, then you play 6 more holes, you call it a day.
I think you're 3 over.
I'm 3 over,
and I think after 9 for me, I'm kind of out.
I'll do 36 in a day.
He will do 36 walking.
I am obsessed. So
that's too much.
Mike, yeah.
No, that's cool.
It's cool. Well, you know.
Well, he's pretty good too. He's like a 5. So maybe you and I should play together. We'll leave Ben behind. But thank you. Have a great off season. Looking forward to seeing you in Peoria. And again, congratulations. Glad you're going to be here for a few more years at least.
Yeah, me too. So appreciate you guys. Enjoy your day.
Thanks, Sheldy.
Mike Schilt, manager of the San Diego Padres. And again, our manager's report brought to you by San Diego County Credit Union. It's not big bank banking. It's better.
Would you like to be a fly on the wall in those meetings? Because I know I would.
No, I want to be a fly on his golf cart.
Yeah, I would want to be in those meetings.
His speakers, probably like that magnet speaker that he's streaming on his phone and just playing by himself.
I'm trying to think about
that. Well, he's kind of talked about it before.
Country.
He's some country, but he also is kind of some classic rock, and he'll mix it up a little bit.
My mind is wandering.
He needs his own Mike Schilt
I'm
Spotify
like a lot of
channel.
Clearwater
Maybe
revival.
Some CCR or like she's gone country. You know, like I feel like it's some old school, like 90s country maybe. Yeah?
Alan Jackson.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, all in.
Dwight Yoakam.
Yeah. I love it.
All right, we're going to check traffic, and then we can react to what we just heard from the skipper, Mike Schilt. And we've also got our football threesome as well. So lots to get to still.
Sexy.
With Ben Woods here on 97.3 The Fan.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I must say, I enjoyed speaking with the manager, Mike Schilt. I don't think there was any breaking news out of the conversation. But when he said that, like, he will... The loss to the Dodgers will stick with his soul for like the rest of his life.
I felt that. He's one of us.
Felt like that. Yeah, yeah. Okay. I mean.
Well, he says he'll just be walking around and sometimes it'll pop in his head. It's like we've all been walking around going, 24 innings, man. 24 straight innings. You know?
I think it's sometimes lost, though, that as much as we care as fans and feel like, those guys are getting paid, you know, they're just still getting paid. They don't care as much. They actually care. Strangely, more than you do. I know they don't always show it, but my guess is it sticks with him even longer than it sticks with you as a fan.
I don't know. I don't know that that's true. Because let's say Mike Schilt moves on and goes somewhere else in 3 years. Now he's all in on the Rays. You know what I mean?
Like, I think with the players, I see too, what you're saying, but he knows that that was an opportunity for legacy. To win a World Series. Sure. Legacy. It was right there. In the palm of your hand, but it was within reaching distance there. And you don't always get within reaching distance of winning a World Series. That's where legacies are defined. And whether he goes on and wins one with the Padres, goes on to another organization and wins three of them, it's always going to be that one that he thought, we definitely could have had that one.
I mean, getting your first one is got to be, whether for a player or a manager, it's just such a load off. I mean, you know, think about Dave Roberts getting this one as opposed to the other one. Yeah, this one means more. It means way more than the last one did. Again, even playing field, everyone had a chance to win it. I get it. But you take out 100 games of that grind, and you're certainly managing way differently that season than you ever were, and you've had tons of resources. And to get that one, to get it out of the way, like the big one, the real one, the one that counts, the 162 plus the playoffs, all of that, man, forget it. Like, that's got to be such a load off for a player, for a manager. And, obviously we want that here. Want that for Schilty ASAP.
All right. Our thanks again to the manager, Mike Schilt. Right now, it is time, to get a little football threesome.
Can Ben and Woods interest you in a threesome?
A threesome would be fun.
Oh, not that kind of threesome.
Dang it.
We're talking end arounds, the best tight ends in the world.
He must work out.
And going all the way in this game of inches.
Nice.
It's the NFL Threesome with Ben and Woods, brought to you by Hamul Casino. Fun above all else on 97.3 The Fan.
Personal foul, 69, offense. He was giving them the business.
All right, getting to our three sports football topics here in our football threesome. We always start with a look ahead to tonight's game, Thursday Night Football, here on 97.3 The Fan, 5:15 kickoff this afternoon. Pretty good Thursday night game tonight.
Very good.
The Cincinnati Bengals will be visiting the Baltimore Ravens. Some injury issues for both teams, Woods. Wide receiver Isaiah Likely is out
The
Ravens.
He's out.
He's definitely doubtful, and he's likely out for the Ravens. T. Higgins, cousin T, is doubtful for Cincinnati in that game. It is a rematch.
Cousin T. What? Cousin T. Higgins.
It's a rematch of a game that the Ravens won 41-38 in overtime last month. Now, that was in Cincinnati. I think Baltimore is clearly the better team, but Cincinnati a little more desperate because they are currently with a losing record. And if they want to get back into the playoff picture, they're going to need to pull off an upset somewhere, and this would be an opportunity to do so.
Good. I mean, just a good marquee matchup. Records notwithstanding, these two teams don't like each other very much. They play each other very, very tough. Just a really, for a Thursday night, Amazon Prime game.
The quarterbacks, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson.
Sign me up.
Yeah. With so many bad matchups in the NFL.
The line tonight is the Ravens are favored by 6. It's actually a little closer than I thought it would be.
Is Lamar banged up at all?
No, I think Lamar's healthy. I think. Hurt. Is he hurt?
I think he was banged up on Sunday.
He did, but I think he's expected to play.
Yeah.
Will he be as effective? I guess we will see.
I'm looking at that line, and I'm looking at Cincinnati plus six is kind of enticing.
It is. They are 5-4 against the spread, and Baltimore is 5-3-1 against the spread. So there you go.
All right. Part two of our threesome, intriguing matchup of the week. And there's definitely a couple of intriguing matchups. I want to talk about the least intriguing matchup, though. Why are we subjecting the country of Germany to Giants Panthers at 6:30 in the morning here in San Diego?
On the Rhino Report, because they also announced that it's either the anthem or it's a halftime show or something.
MGK.
It's Machine Gun Kelly.
Let's send our worst.
This is just such a brutal game. The Giants are terrible, and they're favored by a touchdown in this game. It's brutal. It's at Allianz Arena in Munich, Germany. It's an early start in San Diego, so if you are up early and want to watch NFL Network, I just don't know that I'd turn that one on.
I'll be up. Might be my only shot at watching NFL on Sunday.
Completely irrelevant to everybody.
Yeah, that is the least intriguing matchup. The most intriguing matchup for me, personally, is the San Francisco 49ers and Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And there's one reason and one reason only, is that my number one draft pick, Christian McCaffrey, will be returning to the 49ers. Finally. Wasted a pick on him, and he was hurt, and he'll be back. Now, the Niners... He couldn't have come at a better time. I mean, they're 4-4. Tampa Bay's 4-5. You get McCaffrey back. Who knows?
Big game for playoff matchups.
Yeah,
here.
Dude. Who knows what can happen? So that's an intriguing. I mean, he's a great football player, an intriguing football player, and they got to be feeling a lot better, weathering the storm at 4-4 without him. Now getting him back, if he's anything like Christian McCaffrey, they're going to be in much better shape.
I actually think the best matchup is Steelers and Commanders.
That's what I have.
Washington Commanders are undoubtedly an intriguing team now with Jaden Daniels as quarterback, and they're fun. They're selling out games back in Washington again. It's a good place to go watch football for the first time in such a long time.
If you had a gun to my head and said, "What's the Steelers' record?" You know what I wouldn't have said? 6-2. I would not have said 6-2.
Six and two against what? 7-2 this week?
Yep.
Yeah, that's probably the matchup of the weekend. And then finally,
the matchup of the weekend that everyone will be talking about is Philly and Dallas.
But. It's
most intriguing? I don't think so.
Dallas without Dak, who, by the way, they announced his injury, which is, they said, at least 4 weeks. He had a tendon actually ripped partially off of the bone. like well-cooked chicken or something?
I don't think we appreciate football players enough, to be honest.
Barbecue fall off the bone, great. Quarterback fall off
tendon,
the bone,
right.
it's not good for Dak Prescott. So they're thinking that's probably going to be more than a four-week injury. Philly is okay, but they're not the Philly of old. They're just a mediocre type team. So that's the least intriguing Philly-Dallas matchup in a while.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right, you've already talked a little bit about the lines. What's your best bet, your pick for the week to wrap up our threesome?
I am going to take the 49ers, actually, with that 6.5, which is a decent number. But I think with Christian McCaffrey back, I think they're going to handle Tampa Bay. I watched Tampa Bay this week. Great.
I will take, and this always makes me nervous, it's one of those why on earth is this... Is this line what it is? And they won as favorites that were shocking last week. The Jets are favored by 1.5 at Arizona. The Cardinals aren't a bad team. They're at home. They've got plenty to play for. They're right there in the division. I think they might even be in first place right now in the NFC West. The Jets don't have much to play for. Why would you be favored on the road in that game? Other than
they lead the
NFC West.
They lead the NFC West. They're playing at home, so they've got all the reason in the world to win this game. Take the heart out of the Jets. I think this is Arizona by 10. I don't know why the Jets are favored in this game, but I didn't know why they were favored against Houston last week, and they won that game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they still have Aaron Rodgers. It's not impossible, but I will take Arizona and get points at home against a losing team that has just lost 5 games in a row.
Who do you like, Paulie?
I was looking at that Commanders-Steelers spread. Washington, 2.5-point favorites. I can see them winning by 3.
Sure.
Certainly. And then I was also looking at the Eagles and the Cowboys. Eagles are favored by 7, and I'm looking at a really bad Cowboys team.
Yeah, Cooper Rush.
Without their starting quarterback. I know it's on the road, but Philly is by far the superior team.
Agreed.
I think that's 7 points is a lot. But even at 7, at least you push. Like, I'm looking at, like, that's a minimum 10, 13-point win.
I like it.
Okay. And that is our football threesome for a Thursday. All right, we'll come back. Paulie still has a Rindle report to get to, some other headlines, stories not from the sports world.
Got an NBA coach with a mic drop last night.
Like a mic drop?
Like,
walk away from the podium, last statement,
it to
and
a reporter,
like, I'm done.
Literally dropping a mic
I'm
and
out.
Walking away.
Pressure getting to him already.
Ah, I know who you're talking about. All right, we'll get to that in our final segment next with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. It's been a good show today. Did get the bad news that when Fantasy Camp starts, I'm being abandoned by Woods and Paul for major parts of that week so they can play their games. But
sorry,
we worked it out. We worked it out. We'll be okay.
I trust you.
We talked Aztecs. We had Mike Schilt on. We did Ben Boras puns. I think it was a worthy Thursday edition of Ben and Woods, and it's not quite done. We still have Paulie's Rindle report coming up. This segment of Ben and Woods is brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Buffalo Wild Wings is football. Hey, San Diego sports fans, head to your local Buffalo Wild Wings and try their new maple chipotle sauce for rich maple sweetness and a mild smoky chipotle heat. Or for a bit of kick, check out the new Cajun sauce for a rich blend of spicy and tangy peppers. Stop by your San Diego B-dubs or order now for takeout and delivery with Buffalo Wild Wings. Go.
That is a mouthful.
It is a mouthful. Not just of wings, but of words.
But of words.
We'll let Paulie do some speaking after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
We will start off in the NFL. One note that we didn't get to in our last segment, the NFL threesome. There was some concern about Patrick Mahomes and his availability for this weekend. Who are they taking on? The Denver Broncos. And he should be good to go. He left last weekend's game briefly, kind of got rolled up on, and it didn't look like it was very comfortable at all. He looked like he was in some pain, but he has been preparing. He has been practicing this week, and he said that he expects to have full movement, be completely ready to go on Sunday.
I thought didn't he have a non-contact injury that game?
Well, he originally, like, rolled his ankle, think it was, 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
Against the Raiders, and then he re-aggravated again on Monday night against the Bucks. So, it's been bothering him, but he says movement, like, no limitations, nothing like that.
He'll be fine.
I'm always amazed how anyone makes it through an NFL season.
I'm amazed how they make it through a quarter.
Just falling to the ground
hurts.
Would be excruciating, and they do it just multiple times a day and having to get back up and... Not to mention then the hits and the cuts and everything that would be impossible. I get they're elite athletes, but still, it's such a brutal sport.
It's what do they say? It's like getting in several car wrecks.
Yeah. Every game.
Every game. Just like, what's that ice bath feel like after one of those games?
And it's probably been a while. When was the last time you were in a car wreck? It's probably been a while, and you don't even remember. Like, it just jolts your whole system.
Jarring. When's the last time you got tackled, Ben?
Tackled. It's been a long time.
Long time, right?
Long time.
We used to play full contact tackle football when we were in high school, like, which is lunacy. I wouldn't want my kids to do that now. Like, lunacy. Without gear and stuff.
You're like boxing without boxing gloves.
Well, yeah, we also... Yeah,
there's a reason you can play adult baseball.
Uh-huh.
You certainly can play adult basketball.
There's adult
you
football.
Oh, yeah, there absolutely
tackle
is.
Football?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Adult.
Full gear.
Tackle football.
Yeah, full gear. I have a couple buddies. One
like
of the guys,
40-something-year-olds who are going out and playing tackle football for fun.
Yeah, which is insane.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know about this.
Our buddy Elijah, who played on our first Tier 1 team, he plays in a men's football league and would show up and be like, hey, look at this. And he'd have this bruise that was like purple, yellow, black. And I'm like, bro, come on.
Like a point of pride.
100%.
I feel like there's a story here. Like,
yeah, adult football.
Following like adult football players.
It's not as big as adult baseball or adult basketball or anything
like
that.
For a reason, I'm sure.
Right. Because it's probably hard to find, you know, a whole league full of players.
It's probably hard to get health insurance. If you're playing adult football, I'm like, if I'm your insurer, I'm going, no, I'm not anymore. No, I'm dropping your coverage immediately.
Like when we were kids, I never wore a helmet on a bike ever. I don't even think they existed. Never. And now you haul ass on your 10
speed. Did you ever fall off the bike and hit your head?
It hit my chin. Ooh. Yeah, I fell off. I did hit my head on a curb one time, my first concussion. Oh. Yeah, all the time. I don't let my kids do anything without a helmet now. Crazy.
I don't know if I've ever had a concussion.
I can give you one.
I've had a couple.
You want to try?
Two or three.
I don't know if I've ever
had
a concussion.
Wear a helmet when you go snowboarding.
You want one?
I don't know if I've ever had a concussion.
Boy, he's doing bits over here.
I don't. Everyone's hit their head before. I bump my head a lot, like as
you're tall,
tall guy. Like on door frames and things. But I don't know if it's ever to the level where I've been concussed.
Have you ever wanted to vomit?
No.
Yeah, and you haven't had a concussion. Because I vomited.
I think you would know.
You'd know. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, we'll go over to the NBA. Last night, the Lakers were blown out by the Memphis Grizzlies.
My beloved Memphis Grizzlies. Sorry about it, Ben.
131 to 114. Now, LeBron did have 39, 7 boards, 6 assists. Good game for him. Him and Ja Morant got into it a little bit.
That was fun. Paulie sent that clip over.
Yeah, Ja Morant had a nice play, and he did the bend down towards the floor, and you go like this. Like, you're too small.
Too small.
You're too small. Then LeBron threw him to the ground on a spin move.
Yep.
Hit the bucket, did the exact same thing to him, and it got a little chippy.
But the funny thing is like, and Ben said it in the text, he's like, he's going for the king. Like, Ja does not care. No. Like, he's very confident in his own
ability. Yeah, you know, I think there's a certain deference for LeBron from a lot of guys.
Dave Roberts would have lost his mind about if you did that to one of his guys.
Ja doesn't have that. You're just another player out there, dude.
The NBA is so good at trash talking. Like, they're so... It's so elite. It always has been.
Yeah,
that's great. Good. And they don't flip out about it. You know, like they realize it's part of the game.
Yeah.
Baseball players are like, did you look at me? You did. I'm mad. Like, I mean, you can't look at it. If you hit a home run for a guy and if you glance in his direction, they go, what? What are you looking at? If you don't run fast enough, the NBA's like, I will blank your blank. And they're like, whatever, bro. And they just keep going. Baseball. Yeah,
like Fernando Tatis at home run did the you're too small signal toward a pitcher.
Oh,
the benches, the bullpens, everything clears.
It would be over.
Everything.
Over. Why can't baseball just talk trash more?
Wouldn't it be fun?
It'd be so much better if they talk trash like the NBA.
They sort of can do it like in the Dominican, but then when it goes too far.
Then they hit you with a bat.
Then it really gets bad.
Yeah, they throw bats at you down there. That's crazy. I think baseball needs more trash talking. You know what I mean? They do. I mean, think about when Jack Flaherty was like, sit down, MF-er. I thought it was, I thought it was like, hey, that's what you do. Like, that's pretty cool. But, man, in the big leagues, they just get real upset.
Well, there were some more fireworks after the game because J.J. Redick was having his post-game availability with reporters. And he had already talked about maybe the effort level of some of his guys. You know, you lose by, 20-plus points?
Yeah, that'll
You have one guy. You have LeBron, who's you expect him to go out and have a good game.
My man is 60 years old out there throwing up 39 points.
Right.
Where's everybody else?
But one of the reporters wanted a little bit more of a follow-up. Maybe he needed a specific quote. Maybe he wanted players named for whatever he was writing about. I got the question as well as J.J. Redick's response.
J.J., you're talking a lot about two or three guys, getting them to put in the effort. You talked a lot about wanting to play hard and LeBron being the guy that played hard in tonight's game. How do you address that with the team? What's your philosophy for...
Oh, God.
Mic drop.
Ooh.
Gets up. Walks away.
Ooh.
I just did. Mic drop.
So his point is that I've said it in front of reporters that we need to give more effort. I don't need to gather them around for a speech. They will know that I have now said this publicly, and I have now handled it. Is he right? Has he handled it? Can you coach through the media, essentially? I think the answer is yes.
I think
unquestionably the answer is yes. And a lot of managers and coaches do it effectively.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you know, some will never say anything in the media. We talked to one of them earlier today.
We did, about 50 minutes.
But they'll handle things behind, you know, behind closed doors, have a quiet word with someone. Hey, you know, I know it's a long year, but I'm going to need, I need a little more out of you. But other managers and coaches will go, hey, yeah, I'm calling out my team. A lack of effort and a little public shaming to inspire and light a fire under their butts.
Yeah, for sure.
Can work either way, and it can backfire either way.
All right, and then finally, I've got a story here, a new relationship trend involving ChatGPT.
Ah.
Interesting. Now, everybody, I think most people are probably using ChatGPT in some capacity. Maybe you use it at work to help you out with something. I know you can use it around the house. Like, hey, you can put in, I have these ingredients. Give me a recipe, and it'll give you a recipe for dinner.
Like, not bad.
There are ways to use ChatGPT, and apparently people are using it to win arguments in their relationships, asking ChatGPT for some advice. I was curious if you guys would ever consider doing this, maybe with your spouse. A guy went on to Reddit, and he was asking for some advice. He said his girlfriend is constantly using ChatGPT to win arguments. He said she'll pause a fight, mid-fight, go in the other room, type it all into ChatGPT and ask ChatGPT about it, and then comes back with a well-constructed argument breaking down everything that he said.
Would I use it? No.
Like, if I wanted to come up with an argument about, like, fairly dividing household chores,
right,
and I go to ChatGPT and says, how do I win this argument with my wife or girlfriend?
Put it in right now.
If AI knows what they're doing, they will say, don't even try. You can't win an argument no matter how well-reasoned it is. Never. I don't feel like I've ever won an argument. Really.
Tan is a really good arguer.
Well, I feel like I am very logical. It doesn't matter. It's already been preordained that I'm going to lose the argument.
Why?
Because none of my points are ever really appreciated, I think.
I'm typing it in. All right, this one's for you, Benny.
Like, if I'm logical, then the problem is that no, you can't decide this in a logical manner. This is an emotional issue.
So number one, listen actively. Hear her out before you even present your perspective. Take the time to listen to hers. Understand why she's frustrated or why she feels the chores aren't being shared fairly. Weird that ChatGPT assumes that it's the wife that thinks that the chores aren't being equally distributed. But in your case, I think it's the other way. You want to share, you know, hey, everyone needs to pull their weight here. Then you need to collaborate. This is terrible.
My situation is this is a hypothetical situation.
Completely hypothetical.
Hypothetical.
Keep the bigger picture in mind, it says. No, I don't like it. A fight can't be paused. You can't. Hang on 1 second. I'll be right back. And then I'm going to come in here and I'm gonna kick your ass verbally.
Leave your phone.
Yeah, leave your phone here. That's not going to work for me.
We're done.
That's it for us.
Big show today. We will wrap up the week tomorrow. Friday edition of Ben and Woods at 6 a.m. Annie and Elston coming up next for Pauly. For Woods, I'm Ben. Have a great rest of your Thursday. From all of us here at 97.3 The Fan, take care.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.